Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, we're slugs. We're in the ground. We're desperate for water, but it's a drought. So thank you so much for providing us with everything that we need in this world of capitalism, which is money. Thank you.
Whoa. Today, there's a lot that you just packed into the intro.
Today, we are honored to have with us. She is an author. You may have read some of her articles in Wired. You can also read her amazing book. We are speaking with Sarah Scholes, the author of They Are Already Here, UFO Culture, and Why We See Saucers. Thank you for being on the show, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Here I am.
Honestly, it's so cool. I love this book. And as a skeptical view of UFOs, I think it's very important for people like me that might even be termed a UFO cultist. After reading this book, that you start to understand, like, we need the outside perspective.
I'm glad to be able to provide it. And I like to think it comes from a place of skeptical love of UFOs and a desire for all of their dreams to come true.
That sounds like a great dating website, Skeptical Love. That I might sign, if I ever start dating again, that's the one I'm going to.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing your profile.
Well, I want to start with, at the very beginning of your book, which I love that you kind of have like a brush with like a not a UFO, with technically a UFO because it was unidentified to you at the time. But this idea of you were touched a little bit by the phenomena and you can kind of like it kind of gave you a view in of like why we become so deformed by our love of UFOs.
Yeah, that is the case. I was out camping in rural Wyoming outside of Jackson Hole. For the solar eclipse, which is a very weird thing. So I was there with some friends. It was hot and cold, and we were dirty and tired and maybe a little delirious.
It sounds like you're the living embodiment of a salt and vinegar chip. Ooh, it's so good, but it also burns.
That's the goal when you're camping.
I should have put that in the book. It didn't occur to me at the time. We were like in this extraterrestrial mindset because I don't know if you guys saw the eclipse, but it makes Earth into like a weird exoplanet. And so then it was fire season, so we couldn't have a fire. So we were just all outside that night, like watching the sky, which normally is just stars that stay still. And then all of a sudden this thing came. We thought it was a satellite. We were watching it. It passed over us. And then the spotlight beam just kind of swept right down on us and focused on us. And everybody was first silent and then yelling. And for a second, even I like to think I'm very grounded, but I was like, you know, they found me. They got me.
They found you.
They found me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any noise or was it a silent interaction? Or, I mean, it seems crazy.
It was crazy. It was totally, totally silent. And yeah, very creepy. I'm going to spoil this moment for all of us, but yeah, you're welcome in advance.
Do it for him. Just ruin it.
It was a satellite called an Iridium satellite. And when the sun hits the panels in a particular way, when it's going over you, it just creates this reflection that shines down on Earth and just sweeps over whatever it's over.
But it's nice to still be in its way. It still does mean that you were in the right spot at the right time, doesn't it?
It does.
Sure. Yes, Kissel. But basically, you had a touch of like, oh my God, there's no possible explanation for what we just saw. This is super weird. And then immediately there was a very terrestrial but obscure like definition of what happened to you. So you kind of saw the whole thing of like, oh, you could see why somebody gets sucked in. But then it's kind of almost a cockamamie explanation, too. Like the idea of that it's a satellite, like it's very intense. It's like when people try to call like the Tic Tac video of like birds
and
stuff.
It was wild. And yeah, it all happened over the course of like five seconds. But for those 5 seconds, I thought that I had been wrong about all my naysaying for like my whole life. And I was like, because I'm going to have to eat some crow here and go tell everybody the aliens found me. And that's I'm good with that.
If you want to feel wrong about everything you've ever said, just have friends like Mr. Zebrowski.
That's my job.
That's what he says, his job.
We keep each other in play. So
yes.
As you started getting into the UFO phenomena, you got, it seems like your main track in this book is to examine the people. not the entities themselves. Because a lot of times in UFO books, they're very happy to jump into people that have been abducted, into the intricacies of alien agendas, like on the end of ships. And it's, a lot of it's obviously it's all theoretical because technically it's mostly fake. But you got to start to spend some time with ufologists and people that are obsessed with UFOs. And we're a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, it was about as wild as seeing a UFO. But, you know, all those people have written all those other books and chronicled people's experiences with abductions and saucers and whatever, whatever. And they haven't figured it out. And I was like, you know, I have a year and a half to write a book. I'm definitely not going to figure out what's up with UFOs, but I can maybe learn something about all you crazy people.
Well, you could have named the book What's Up With UFOs, and Ashton Kutcher could have done the audiobook, and I think that would have been absolutely phenomenal. What's Up With UFOs? Sarah Scholes, author of They Are Already Here, UFO Culture and Why We See Saucers, kind of piggybacking on Henry's question, what was something interesting about the UFO community that you weren't expecting? Not any negative. Let's try. I'm going to try to do something positive.
Sarah's here. Sarah is not negative. That's what I was excited about. Super positive.
A positive person when talking about people who are negative must also then reflect the negativity of that person who is negative, right? Otherwise they're lying.
What?
So Sarah,
I can't follow that.
What, you're losing all of us.
So what was something with the UFO community where you're like, damn, okay, it is not just a bunch of basement dwellers bickering online, but there is some like substance to the belief culture. Don't shake your head at me, Henry. You know what the you people are.
He's a basement dweller, but I met other people. I mean, what was most interesting to me was the people who get really obsessed with UFOs and don't believe they're aliens or don't even necessarily believe they're anything. Like, I'm a big fan of these two guys named Jack Brewer and Christopher Rutkowski, and they're very good at doing very deep historical research where they read a bunch of documents and put them together about how UFOs have gone in the past, and they take no stance on what UFOs are. And I just find the idea that you could put that much effort into something that's a hobby really fascinating. And so it was really that, like, what motivates people to do that if they don't think there's aliens driving them?
They don't really care about the essential nature of, like, what is the hard answer of yes? Like, they're agnostic about UFOs. And I really appreciate that, because I think that that's maybe a part of what the ever this cycle loop phenomena is. It's supposed to kind of turn the lens back on us and how we look at the skies and what do we expect to get from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think agnosticism is important because whatever UFOs are, whether they're something super interesting like Zeta Reticulans or just the military, they're like a lot of things. Like, your UFO looks different from my UFO. There's not going to be one answer, probably.
There is a consensus, though, right, on what UFOs tend to look like. Do you think that that is that like psychosomatic, or is that proof that these are, you know, that these are nuts and bolts crafts? If everyone's like, oh yeah, I see the tic-tac type UFO, I see like this, that, and the other type UFO, and these people never met each other, like, doesn't that kind of mean that it would be more like authentically real and not necessarily just kind of a cerebral experience?
I don't think it could go either way. Everybody could be seeing the same kinds of things because they're up there to see, or it could be what I learned psychologists call perceptual contagion, where somebody sees something and then you start to notice that thing or to interpret something that way. Like, if I say, like, oh man, there's so many green Volkswagen bugs driving around this city,
right,
then you're going to keep noticing them more. But I'm full agnostic, so I cannot take a stance on what's going on.
Now, you do a really good breakdown of Tom DeLonge's entrance into the ufological world. It caused shockwaves. My theory about why people are really upset about Tom DeLonge joining the UFO community is because a rock star had it all. He had it all. He had the ladies, he had the men, he had the beats, he had the rhythms, he had millions
craft services,
of dollars.
The little sandwiches behind this in the green room.
He had all of it, but he decided to come into our world and take what we had, right, to come in and take what us mouth breathers were supposed to hold. Isn't there enough
to go around, Henry? He didn't take anything from you.
It's capitalism. It's capitalism.
But when you started following, like, what is your impression? The fact that, like, Tom DeLonge, like, had a meeting, like, somehow he got in with, like, the joint chiefs of staff and just started hanging out with these, like, guys with real clearance, and they just were like, you know what, Tom DeLonge? We're going to give you the secrets. Like,
no, he was in a Washington graveyard with people smoking a joint. And they were joint chief.
I love the whole breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, he has gotten meetings with important people in Washington. He's gotten, I believe, if I remember my own book correctly, into the, you know, Lockheed Skunk Works. He's gotten important places. I don't know. Also got to be agnostic about Tom DeLonge, but it seems like, at least based on, I'm sure maybe some of your listeners know that, you know, with the John Podesta email leaks, we found out that he was communicating with John Podesta's staff about UFOs. It seems like, you know, we've all heard he's a famous guy. People like to use fame for their own agendas. And while Tom was trying to use the politicians for his UFO agenda, it seemed like they were like, maybe Tom and his rock band can help us out a little bit too. Everybody's just out for themselves.
If we give him like a picture of the alien, you think we could get him to do the RNC?
He might. But they were literally, they were calling his band like Crunk 497. Like, they had no clue what his band was. They didn't know what function he would serve. I'm going to ask you another hot topic question. Did you see the new spread with Luis Elizondo in the New York Times? Did you see his new headshot?
No, I don't think I did. What's it look like?
You should take a look at his headshot. I want to know whether or not you think that makes him more credible than not, because we got into a very big discussion about it, because Luis Elizondo's coming out hard. He's got the cool, tight jeans.
He looks like a biker who is not legally allowed to be on two wheels. That's what he looks like. I literally sent this message to Henry being like, they are trying to disprove your movement. He's like, no. He's one of the good ones. He's one of the cool ones. I'm like, what is going on?
I thought he looked good.
I mean, he is pretty cool looking. I wish I could have facial hair like he's got facial hair. He's got, I don't know how many tattoos he has. I have some. We might be equal there, but I don't know. He's definitely got an aura that he's putting out there.
Yes.
Did you get to speak with him? Did you speak with him or Tom DeLonge's people? Did you have any contact with them? Because it seems like they are fairly, quote unquote, open. But I think mostly they are open to pitches for television shows. That, yeah. I know, but I don't know about their information.
They don't let me be in charge of any television shows. But I did talk to Luis Elizondo way back in early 2018. I was working on some stories for Wired about this whole ATIP Pentagon program before I started working on the book. And back then, Luis Elizondo was happy to talk to me. We chatted a few times. And then I started asking some questions that he wasn't too fond of. And ever since then, for the whole time I was working on the book, he wouldn't talk to me.
Tom's never responded to him. Tom never got back.
No, Tom's too busy for me.
What was something he didn't want to talk about?
I had been talking to the people at the Pentagon about where those famous UFO videos came from, how they got out. And they said, you know, we didn't release those. Those didn't come from us. And he had said that the Pentagon had released those videos. So I said, Luis, what's up? And he said, see ya.
Wow. He can't really hold up to scrutiny. Not good. They are already here, UFO cultures and UFO culture. And why we see saucers, Sarah Scholes. I have to ask a question just because I read the name of this book. And what do you mean they're already here? Am I one?
Jesus Christ.
Am I one now? Are they working at 7-Eleven? What's going on? Where are they? Are they at Ralph's?
Is this the Tom Snyder show? Is this the late, late show?
Yeah, I mean, take off your skin suit. Let me see your lizard face. I think they are already here. No, that is not my opinion that they are already here. But that is, you know, that's the way a lot of people in the UFO field talk about it, especially, you know, I come from writing a lot about SETI, the search for extraterrestrial broadcasts far away, where they say, you know, they might be already out there. And when I tell UFO people that, you know, I'm interested in SETI, they say, well, you know, why point your telescopes at stars far away? They are already here.
You're like, whoa.
Mind blown.
Yeah, and then he just like rips his own face off and he's a lizard. Then you'd be sorry.
Did they present any evidence to back up the claim that they're already here? Or do they more just like pretending to be like really ominous and like smoking and drinking whiskey in a corner and be like, you know, they're already here. And you'd be like, no, what? That's me. Where? How?
I think what most people cite is the wide variety of UFO sightings that people have had for decades that the true believers just say are UFOs. Or, you know, a lot of times I get a lot of emails from people who say, why are you researching this? They're already here. They visited me in my house last night.
Okay.
Which I don't ever really know what to do with.
It's hard because I do believe on some level, especially people that have had abduction experiences or whatever that level of the UFO phenomena is, they do sound like they have experienced some form of trauma. So then you wonder where it's either terrestrial or, you know, are you stumbling upon some sort of interdimensional experience that we don't understand that literally is like space rape? Like, is it happening to you and we don't know?
Is there a whole chapter called that?
Space rape? No, I cut that one. I think that's important.
It's straight in that world where people are obviously right. In pain and they feel like that they have been stolen, essentially. It's interesting.
It is. Yeah. And I mostly left the abduction thing out of my research for the book because of that trauma. Like, I don't feel equipped. I'm not a psychologist to treat people's stories respectfully, because I do think that like people who have seen UFOs or people who think they've been abducted, like, I don't doubt that they believe that. I don't always agree with their interpretations, but I agree that they believe that.
Something's going on your end, right? Essentially.
Any research that you were able to do with an abduction story, perhaps, that kind of stuck with you, where even as an agnostic on UFOs, where you're like, damn, that is like, there is something trippy about that one. Was there anyone that kind of stood out to you as you were doing the research for the book?
I would say more than any one, it's just the number of people who feel that way, and also the number of like credible people who, you know, don't talk about it at all really, and who just all have these kinds of similar stories. And you know, there was a Harvard psychologist who did a whole conference about this in the, I don't remember if it was the 80s or 90s, maybe one of you guys do, but you know, it's a thing, and it's been going on for a long time. I know the book is behind me on the shelf, but
over my laptop is my version. It's Johnny Mack's abduction, and he got torn apart for trying to take the abduction scenario seriously.
Even if he filmed it in the 2000s, it's still always the 80s for Johnny Mack.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing about it all is that, you know, I think of myself as a very grounded and science-minded person, but there's so much about the universe we don't understand.
Right.
It's possible that there's something truly weird going on that scientists have not figured out yet. We get most of things wrong in science for a long time before we get them right. So,
well, and that seems to be a consensus of a lot of the people that we've interviewed for our Patreon series, whether it be paranormal, UFO, or UFO, where they say it's just an undiscovered science, and at some point we're going to have the explanations for the paranormal and stuff, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. Imagine if you went back in time 100 years and tried to explain Wi-Fi, I would just be put in prison.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that's just for your size.
Yeah, well, also, I can't explain Wi-Fi currently.
No, I have no idea. I wouldn't be able to help anybody. I couldn't even, I would be so useless. I can't start a fire. I'm a horrible caveman.
You know how to find beans, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Another thing I really loved about the book was that you did a really good, I'm going to say a full toe in, but maybe not past the knuckles of the foot into the, I'm sorry that's a very bad image. I'm sorry that I did that.
You don't think about toe knuckles very
often.
My toes
don't have knuckles. That's not fair, girls. Go ahead.
You talk about the idea of governments using UFOs and like the idea of hiding back and forth behind UFOs as essentially like Cold War in between our intelligence programs, about how like and how they can use the idea of UFOs in a way to cloud whatever secret shit we have in our skies to begin with.
Yeah, we know for sure they did that with the early spy plane work that they were doing on the U2 and things like that, where they kind of, if not actively promoted the idea that there were crazy UFOs up there, then kind of just like let the rumors ride, so that if you went outside and saw something weird, or you were on a plane and you saw something weird and you went home and said to your mom, like, I saw this thing. It was a UFO. Then people will just think you're not with it. You were mistaken. And then nobody thinks it's a military craft. And so right. if you make people sound crazy, then they won't look further at your military pursuits. And that's probably happening now.
But it seems that the Chinese and the Russian, they all feint and play games against each other about how seriously they're taking the quote unquote UFO problem, to kind of spark each other into doing it the same, like where China will start saying we're taking the UFO problem really seriously. And then somewhere deep within the government mechanism, the United States of America, they're like, maybe we should actually be taking it seriously, too, or at least outwardly saying we are. Or we don't know what this new ATIP shit is. Is it just another layer of this fight?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. But I think also something that governments do is they might be talking about UFOs to us. I can't, you know, this is, I don't have actual evidence for this, but they could be talking about UFOs publicly to us. And then like China knows what they're really talking about when they say we're interested in UFOs. China and Russia know, like, oh, they're talking about our hypersonic blah, blah, blah. And they're saying they can see it. Yeah, you haven't heard of a hypersonic blah, 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 have you?
Oh, God.
The hypersonic blah, blah, blah. That could end all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll yada, yada the whole earth.
That's good.
What do you think is scarier, just from your point of view, Sarah, alien spacecraft or military spacecraft? And my calculation is currently the military has killed a lot more people than aliens. So I am slightly more scared of the idea that they are controlled by the Russians, the Chinese, the U.S. government. That to me is scary because they have a lot of blood in their history and on their hands. I would almost prefer if it was from another world.
Yeah, I think I would too. A, it would be more exciting. B, you're right. Many fewer casualties. And if we've been seeing them in modern form since the late 1940s and they haven't, you know, gone full on war attack yet, maybe they'll just, if they're aliens, they'll just keep flying around.
But Henry thinks that they're going to attack immediately.
Well, my personal belief, as I've gotten deeper into the UFO world, is if they are nuts and bolts, like if they are actual animals or entities, like physical things that come here from another solar system, and we do anything to tick them off, or they decide that they are done with us, or something like that. Like,
they canceled done. Everybody like, Loves Raymond. That's why we came to this planet, was to watch Everybody's Loved Raymond. And they canceled it.
It turns out Ray Romano is not actually from Queens. Like, they are very, very upset. But I do think if they are meat, we probably would be destroyed very easily by them.
Mm-hmm. But how do we know what makes them mad? I don't even know what makes you mad.
I mean, honestly, with things that make me mad, burritos that fall apart really easily.
Yep.
People that back into parking spaces. Mm-hmm.
You know what else enrages me? Yep. People that back into parking spaces. Well, I say, what are you doing? Robbing the bank?
Yeah.
You
what is this, a heist? What's
happening? Why do you need to get out of here so fast?
You didn't even put a turn signal on. I almost hit you.
It's what a cocky move.
Ralph's, right?
It's a cock move. It's a move where everyone. Anyway, that's a whole nother UFO.
But that's why, in my mind, what we're seeing is there's some form of psychic phenomena happening as well, which makes me sound even less and less like a reliable babysitter.
You know, Tom thinks that too, I think. So he does. In common.
I have secret machines, and I've been trying to get through it because Tom DeLonge wrote this book, Secret Machines, that has like, it's like a way of the weaving of UFO lore and fiction and fact and stuff like that. But yeah, Tom DeLonge and I also both love tiny pants.
and Luis, all of you.
It's because you have little legs. It's because ufologists have little legs. I'm just throwing that out there. Is that a possibility?
We're often egg-shaped. You saw us.
Maybe you are the aliens. That's, I mean, little legs and egg-shaped sounds very suspicious. Well, that, to me, honestly,
I'm an American. I'm an American.
Just scream that as you're getting abducted. Your butt's in the air. I'm an American. That's why we got you.
How do you feel now that you've spent some time with it? Like, because you went to a lot of conventions.
Oh my God, you have to tell us about the conventions.
Are you gonna go back after all of this? Like, did they hook you?
Like, are you ready to see him again? The alien convention's a little bit different than a comic convention.
Back to the beginning. You're pulling up at the Ritz-Carlton. Who do you see streaming into that place?
You see a lot of middle-aged men streaming into the place. It could be one of those skin suit disguises. I don't know. You know, the UFO conferences, in particular the International UFO Congress, kind of surprised me because it has...
They just called themselves a Congress?
They did. Well, they make laws. One. They make laws, you see. And they have, like, for everyone, from when I first walked in, somebody tried to ask me if I wanted to help create good relations with the aliens that were already on Earth. Two people who were very skeptical, and they're all just kind of there in the same place. I was actually supposed to be tuning into the virtual version of the International UFO Congress today, but I ended up working instead.
Well, you missed out on a lot.
I'm sorry. It's going on tomorrow, too,
I think. It's the International UFO Congress.
There is nothing. There's something you miss when you're not there. You miss the body smell. Mm-hmm. You miss the conventions. That's the main thing I miss about conventions, is the different levels of grime that we all have.
We don't have that. We don't have that anymore.
At these conventions, is it contentious, or are most people all on board? I would assume it's the former, just given my insight into the world via Henry's brain. but what is that like when you show up and you're like taking notes? Are people skeptical of you, or...
No, I was afraid of it. I was afraid of that. Because, I mean, most people don't really like to talk to a reporter with a notebook, but people are pretty on board. If you just act like a human being, like you're not going to just sit there and make fun of them, they'll tell you all their UFO stories. So it wasn't actually contentious. UFO Twitter, contentious. UFO in person, actually very nice.
I could say it's because they can hide. Physically hide.
Did you get the sense, because we talked about this with Flat Earthers, there's a great documentary, I think it's called Beyond the Curve or something, and they showed the convention, and you realize, oh, this is people who are just in so desperate need, they're in desperate need of friendship and love and companionship, and that seemed to be paramount, and then they would be like, and we're here for the Flat Earth, but they would also be crying about, you know, abuse, like literally it was very traumatic.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling it was more about UFOs or more about like, I'm just happy to be out of the house. And my wife.
I mean,
is...
it's good. It's always good to get out of the basement, right?
It is great to get out of the basement.
Hey, some of us have ranch homes.
Then stay in the basement.
I think it seemed like it was mostly about finding like-minded people. I mean, which is true of like dentist conventions or UFO conventions, where like you don't have to explain yourself to anyone, and you can talk about your story, and nobody will think you're weird because they're all there for the same reason. So just a gathering of like-minded middle-aged people.
Yeah, it's really nice. It sounds really nice to be able to be in a place with no judgment. Even my home, I can't escape judgment for myself.
They will judge you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, just silently. Yeah, we just don't talk about it. But
that's fine, though. I go, as long as I'm not hearing it. And then I don't know about it. But I just think UFO are UFO people. They're just a special group of people, because you do have to, because we've been marginalized. Okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Do you think that's why people are marching in Portland right now, because of the UFOs? When you mentioned how it's a lot of dudes, right? Do you think that it's more, why do you think it's mostly dudes in the UFO world? Or is it? I actually don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of women involved also.
Since we brought this up a little bit a while ago, I've had several like ladies, people identify as ladies, saying like, hey, I'm with it. I'm with UFOs. But it was only like 5 emails.
That's all the same woman. It was me.
But it's weird that it's skewed, but it's strange that it skews like so male, because I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's really gender inclusive or exclusive. It's
no,
UFOs.
Yeah, I don't have a great explanation for it. That will have to be part 2 of the book. But I mean, historically, it's been a lot about bound up with military stuff, which is, you know, traditionally man stuff. The whole nuts and bolts, like figuring out the engineering aspect is not, I don't think that that's something that men are more interested in than women, just like as a traditionally male dominated space. And then whenever you have something with a bunch of dudes, it's not necessarily that inviting for women to join. Yeah. They're not helping. Not to care. No.
They are not helping.
I think it's changing. I mean, there's more women than there used to be, I think, and more women who are prominent than there used to be. So hopefully that just, you know, spirals and continues, and then even more women in basements will be great.
So tell me, what's it going to take for you to be, what's going to take you to go from agnostic to full belief? Do you gonna have, you one of those and say like, oh, a saucer needs to show up on my lawn?
Yeah, it does. But I don't know, because I feel like even then I'd just be like, well, time to go see a psychiatrist. Like, I've spent too much time here. I don't know what it would take. But, you know, where I did end up in the book research, where I wasn't before, was I think I would have said before, like, 100% there's no possibility that aliens are here and they're driving these spaceships. And now I wouldn't say that. I would say that you can't know something like that 100%. Which, you know, stepping down by 1% is pretty good for me. So.
That's huge.
That's huge. It really is. Honestly, that's huge. J. Allen Hynek changed his whole life. He got the Van Dyke going. He stopped saying swamp gas. And he, I don't know, I don't imagine his personal life got worse, because we find out that ufology ruins lives. Tom DeLonge's wife left him immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah, he's not part of the band anymore.
They kicked him out of the band.
Blunk 185 is no more.
They won't have him anymore. They won't have him, literally, because he wouldn't shut up about it. That is the truth. And he kept trying to put UFO themes into the lyrics. And it was hard for the rest of the group.
So this song's about skateboarding, right? But, like, imagine if the kid is a...
Tom, don't you even fucking
alien.
Say it. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Live from your grave.
All right, everyone. There it was, our interview with Sarah Scholes. Check out her book.
She's smart. She listens to scientists.
She really does. They're already here. UFO Culture and Why We See Saucers.
I support
Sarah Scholes. But you're looking, and now if you are a UFO, as we were mentioning sort of later on here in the interview, There ain't no sky here in LA. So if you're a UFO and you're listening out there, come visit, because we can't see you. We can't see you.
Fly lower.
Bring me
ice cream.
Yes, it is a trippy ass. It is so freaking trippy here right
it's
now.
It's so weird.
But anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this little episode, our little interview with Sarah Scholes, and support her and support not everyone in the UFO community, but support the ones that Henry approves, because I approve Henry's approval. So please, God, Henry, it really does
try
mean a lot.
To vet.
Okay, do a vet.
I never hung out with Jan. I never hung out with him.
I know. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And again, thank you so much for giving to our Patreon. And, you know, we can't wait to see you whenever the fudge that is going to
whenever
freaking
the fudge
be.
We can get the F out. We will be there.
Or if the world just burns all around us and we're actually living in a version of The Mist, and
honestly,
you think you're escaping.
I'll still perform
but-
shows. Then tell me already and we will do shows.
Honestly, yeah, that's
I'll
true.
Do shows while it's burning. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me.